Good morning. 1 minute after 10 o'clock, and it's time for another 1001 Spotlight here on Red River Radio. And joining me in the studio this morning, Michael Butterman, music director of the Shreveport Symphony, as he has been many, many times, and the featured guest artist with the symphony this weekend, pianist Norman Krieger, for a weekend of Brahms. And Michael, I'll let you go ahead and talk about the concert.
Oh, I'd love to. Absolutely. Well, Brahms is near and dear to every musician's heart, I'm sure. Certainly is to mine. And so we have a pair of twos, I guess, which is not a very good hand in poker, but it's pretty good for Brahms. We have the second symphony, and actually before intermission, the second piano concerto, and don't let the name fool you, that is frankly almost another symphony there, with the piano being interwoven into the fabric of the orchestra in a way unlike just about any concerto that I'm aware of.
And these are two works composed not far apart, just a few years apart, and at least to me, anyway, I think of this as Brahms, of course, beautiful writing, just so lyrical writing, but also cheery Brahms. In fact, there's a joke that Brahms sent with the symphony, at least, to his publisher, warning him that this melancholy, dark symphony was coming, and then you have this glorious, to me, like a sunrise symphony.
Yeah, I think some people compare it to Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony in a lot of ways. Yeah. The opening movement is not sort of a typical, sort of faster, more aggressive kind of work, but rather very, what's in three, for example, and it's very, very lyrical. I think it is sunny, and the end is kind of affirmative and uplifting. And yet, you know, I think we're calling this the beauty of Brahms, and of course his music is beautiful, but his music is never, even when it's cheery, it's never just sort of simple and diverting and pleasant. It's always profound somehow, and I think that to me that's the brilliance of this composer. It works on two levels: the intellect and the emotion. You hear the emotion right away, but then when you study it more, and when you begin to sort of really, really explore what this music is about, you see the incredible mind that is behind this sort of superficial beauty that you hear.
Right. And as you mentioned, the piano concerto is as monumental as the symphony, and Norman, you're pianist, but in this case you're as much a part of the symphony as anything else. Why don't you talk a little bit about the approach to the concerto and what this concerto is like for you?
Well, it's a real treat for me to have the privilege of playing both these concertos anytime. The second is probably one of the greatest works of art ever written for the piano and the orchestra. They're unique. Both of the concerto are unique. The second is just a perfect score from beginning to end. I mean, the first concerto, Brahms was still finding his way in terms of orchestration, but the second, he achieved such an incredible balance between the piano and the orchestra. The writing for the piano is probably as uncomfortable as it gets. It's in the key of B flat major, where if you're a pianist and you play a B flat chord, you know that you're inside the black notes a lot, and so it's quite a physical feat just to get through the piece from beginning to end, but it's a journey. You know, Brahms is always working through something, and he takes you on this phenomenal trip. You know, with the French horn beginning the piece, it's like a calling, and then the piano responds with an answer, and then you're on this hiking trip, basically, for at least for the first two movements. I equate it to, you know, Moses being called up to Mount Sinai, you know, in the first two movements, and then you get up there, and then you have the third and the fourth movement, which are actually much lighter in texture and much more ethereal, and you know, it's almost an exaltation from the first and second movement. There's a gorgeous cello solo in the third movement based on a song that Brahms wrote. I think the literal translation is ever less becomes my sleep. There is a quality of just absolute spirituality is the only thing I can think of in the third movement. There's one moment between the piano and the winds, you know, the 12 bars in the slow movement, which to me is the climax of the piece. You know, it's funny, he puts the scherzo second as opposed to in third position, which is quite extraordinary. But it's just a great ride, you know. I mean, to be able to get up there and for 50 minutes, time really goes very quickly for me. I mean, it doesn't feel like 50 minutes when you're up there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just always a great challenge. And more importantly, it's a collaboration. Unlike, let's say, the Rachmaninoff or Tchaikovsky or Liszt concerti, the Brahms concerti, the conductor, the soloist, the orchestra, we all have to be on the same page. And we have to almost relinquish our personalities to a certain degree, I think, and serve the music. The music is so clear and so specific, yet at the same time, depending on the acoustic of the hall, the piano, the feeling of the moment, there is leeway, you know. The most important quality for me is the harmonic rhythm. Mm-hmm. Brahms, even though he lived in the Romantic period, really is always going back to Bach. And certainly Beethoven is behind him in a certain respect, but Bach, I think, is the composer that stands out for me. There is a Baroque quality to this second concerto. Just in terms of the shapes and the nuances, the ornament, the written out ornamentation that he has, what I find so interesting on the modern piano is the dynamics written in the score. If you take them literally and apply a fortissimo on the modern piano to what he's written, it's almost too much. And you know, Arthur Schnabel, the great Viennese pianist, said that, you know, with Brahms, if you bring down all the dynamics just down one notch, when it says fortissimo play forte, when it says forte play mezzo forte on the piano, you get a more accurate, I think, textural quality to the piece, and it also makes it physically much more playable.
That's true. Otherwise, the piano wasn't as well developed then, which actually might explain why on the very few recordings we have of Brahms, you can hardly hear the piano, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Well, this performance, The Beauty of Brahms, is tomorrow evening, 7:30 p.m. at Riverview Theater in downtown Shreveport. My guests have been, you've been hearing a pianist, Norman Krieger, who's the guest artist, playing the Brahms Second Piano Concerto, and Michael Butterman, as always, a music director of the Shreveport Symphony. Tickets and information at shreveportsymphony.com or at 318-227-8863. Michael, Norman, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kermit.
See you next time.
All right.